Welcome to Vegas Revealed, episode 33.
This week we are going to downtown Las Vegas, one of the most historic properties in the city, has some new developments to talk with us about.
Yeah, we're excited. We get to talk one-on-one with the CEO of the Plaza, all coming up on Vegas Revealed.
This episode of Vegas Revealed is brought to you by Vegas.pizza, the virtual pizzeria with homemade New York recipes and delivery straight to your door. Be sure to check them out on Instagram at Vegas.pizza. Be sure you spell it out, Vegas D-O-T pizza.
Let's go to Vegas, baby. Let's go tonight.
Right now.
Let's go to Vegas.
Welcome to Vegas Revealed and welcome to fall. We're already in September, but it doesn't really feel like it.
No. Thanks for joining us, everyone. I'm Dana Roselli. That's Sean McAllister. And like Sean mentioned, you know, we're approaching fall, but it doesn't feel like fall here in Las Vegas because we're hitting another streak of like 111 for like 4 days straight, Sean, on Labor Day weekend into the next week.
This is not what it's supposed to feel like on Labor Day.
No. But you know, I mean, I always say don't mind the heat because I grew up in Rochester, New York, so did you, where we got all that lake effect snow and winter was like 8 months long. So I'm like, another week of like major heat. We can deal with it. We don't have hurricanes. We don't have tornadoes.
That is true. You know. But one thing we do have is pumpkin spice lattes. Pumpkin spice everything is already back. Are you one of those people?
I am so anti-pumpkin spice and the whole thing. Yes, I'm just not into it. Everyone gets so excited for fall here, and that's the thing. And like, I always feel like I don't want to rush it. I kind of like summer because I grew up with the 8 month winters, and so I'm like, I don't want to wear a sweater and drink pumpkin spice. Why? I like my suntan and I like my pina colada and my chilled white wine. Why do we need to go pumpkin spice?
But doesn't pumpkin spice just like warm your soul a little bit?
No, not really.
Really?
Yeah, and I hate fall decorations. I think they're ugly.
You do?
The orange leaves all around people's front porch and all that stuff. I am such a Grinch when it comes to that stuff. I don't know why.
Oh, see, fall is my favorite season.
Well, good. I can't wait to come over to the home office and see all your decor.
Oh, just wait. The totes are out in the garage and they're ready to be cracked open.
All right. Well, I'll go with the flow. Listen, as long as people like it and they're enjoying life and they have something to look forward to, I'm all for it. Just don't, you know, ask me to participate.
Let's hope we all have something to look forward to, right?
That's right. So another, obviously, week in Vegas. Had a great show last week. Next week, we're going to be at the Wynn, which will be really great. They're revamping their Lake of Dreams, and we're going to go check it out. So I look forward to that. But we have a lot to talk about today when it comes to downtown Las Vegas and everything that's going on there. It seems like there's always something happening.
Yeah, it's really exciting to see what's happening in downtown Las Vegas. A big revitalization when it comes to restaurants, the beverage and dining scene. There's a lot of craft breweries going in, and that's fun. But also one of the most historic properties is about to mark its 50 years in downtown Las Vegas. So we're going to hear all about the plans for that.
Right. And it's right next to Circa, which I did want to point out. Anyone looking for a job here in Las Vegas, either maybe you want to move here or you're out of a job and you're local and you're listening, they just announced, you know, a big push for hiring. And so did Resorts World, which has said, like, follow their LinkedIn page. They've got like 6,000 positions to fill, and they're going to slowly start rolling them out. So, but that's where they are telling everyone to go. So I'm excited that, you know, there's going to be new jobs here in Las Vegas. It's been so hard because we are such a tourist destination for so many people that have lost their job. But hopefully maybe these positions will be something that those folks can apply to and get.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's nice to see that there are places who are hiring right now. Mm-hmm. And from an entertainment standpoint, it's nice to see that there are still restaurants mm-hmm. and events that are starting to open and starting to welcome people back, especially in like the media world. You know, there would be invites going out all the time, and we're starting to see those again.
I know, it's exciting. Like you said, new things opening, new kind of, you know, people adjusting with the new way and maybe going, well, let's do it this way instead. And they want people to experience it. So it's very, you know, exciting to feel an invite come in and go, okay, things are slowly getting back to normal. It's never going to be quite the same, you know, too soon, but we know in time we'll be back.
You know, I just wanted to mention really quick, a few episodes ago, we spoke with Oksana Bayul, the Olympic gold medal figure skater, who is in the works of putting a show together to launch here in Las Vegas. And just this week, got a sweet little note from Oksana and
so
her
nice.
Family thanking us for being on Vegas Revealed and wishing us the best of luck. So if you haven't listened to Oksana Bayul, go back a couple episodes and be sure to check that interview out. She's great.
Yeah, she really is. It was a great interview. We loved it. And she keeps thanking us for kind of bringing her emotions to the top again, you know, because we had such a great conversation and she has such a, you know, amazing life story. So we're thankful for that. Something else that I did want to mention is that when you talk about past podcasts, you and I, sometimes we do our little bit of digging to like, okay, where do we stand, you know, in the ranking? So Buzzsprout, our, you know, our hosting service where we host our podcast, had these statistics out and it said, hey, if this, you get this many downloads per month, you're in this bracket. So we found out we're in the top 10% of all podcasts when it comes to downloads. And so we just want to thank everyone for listening.
Absolutely. We do have listeners from all over the country here in the United States and all over the world in more than 36 countries around the world. So yes, thank you for taking the time to spend some time with us.
Yeah, it's been a true honor. It's been a lot of fun. People say, are you, you know, what do you do the podcast for? Like, we do it for fun. You know, we just really enjoy doing this, chatting, interviewing people and staying in tune with Las Vegas. And we're in the top 10%, which we thought we were going to be in like the top 50. We're like, okay, hopefully we'll have enough downloads that, you know, we're in the top 50%. But then it was 10. And really, it's more like top 7%. I'm not going to lie. Because we were, you know, above the number. But we you know, I won't pat myself on the back too much.
Do they send out ribbons or anything?
Probably not. But we did get a martini when we visited the plaza. So I'm excited to get to this interview. We're going to take a quick break. And coming back after this, we travel to the Oscars restaurant at the plaza. It wasn't open yet, but the bar was open for us.
Yeah, we got VIP treatment. You'll hear all about that when we speak with the CEO of the Plaza, Jonathan Jasso, next on Vegas Reveal.
Hey, a big shout out to our sponsor, Vegas.pizza. You got to follow them on Instagram. It's Instagram.com/Vegas.dot pizza. And there you can see these delicious pizzas, Sean, that are made from kind of the old recipes of the old neighborhood in Brooklyn.
I know. I love that. You can just taste the history when you bite into one of these pizzas. And it's a really cool concept. It's not a pizzeria that you can walk into in person. The only way that you can experience Vegas.pizza is by ordering on a delivery app. This is a new virtual pizzeria.
Yeah, it's really cool. Uber Eats, Postmates, Grubhub. You can order and, you know, you can't sit at the bar, but they'll deliver it to your house or your office and you can enjoy the pizza in the comforts, you know, of your own home. And I hear, Sean, that Uber Eats is doing like a 2-for-1 daily special too. So you might want to get in on that.
So be sure when you are, when your tummy's grumbling and you're ready for a big slice, look up Vegas.pizza. Welcome back to Vegas Revealed. Still to come, our two tips, and one of them is a great outdoor dining option that's just set off the strip, so you want to stick around for that. But in the meantime, we've made our way to downtown Las Vegas. We're sitting in Oscar's Steakhouse at the Plaza, Dana.
I know, pretty excited about this. We have the CEO, Jonathan Jasso, with us on the podcast today, and we figured, you know what, we might as well come and hang out here and do this. Welcome.
Thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
It's good to see you.
I appreciate it. It's nice to have you guys here. Love your energy. Love what you're doing. So thank you for having me.
Thank you. Yeah, it's fun to sit in Oscars for a change when it's empty because it's always bustling and booming.
I see you don't have a drink in front of you, actually. Would you like a
drink?
That
is true.
I mean, it's a you got to have a martini when
Sean's
you're here, right?
Sean's always up for a cocktail. Me, I'm okay. Because it's, you know, I've already put on the COVID 10, so I'm trying to cut out the calories.
How do you like your martini?
Extra dirty.
Extra dirty.
Up.
Oh, he's ordering from his phone. Is this what you do? Well, now I feel like I should take part. Oh, wait, give me a dirty martini too. Why not?
Done.
So is this part of the new experience at the Plaza now? Do you have online ordering for...
No, this is we're not open yet and we're doing a podcast, so I'm having someone make you a dirty martini.
Oh, so this is like super VIP.
This is CEO VIP. You've been CEO since what, 2014, is it?
2014, I got licensed. Mm-hmm. I was 29 years old when I got my gaming license, which... Wow. I believe at the time was one of the youngest unrestricted licensees in the state. Mm-hmm. And the experience was pretty interesting to go through that licensing process. Luckily for me, I was didn't have much history because it's all about your background and mm-hmm. previous jobs, previous employers. So getting that licensing, going through that licensing process was an incredible experience for me. And obviously going up in front of the Gaming Control Board and the commission was a pretty cool experience at that point.
Mm-hmm. Well, they really like dig into you, don't they?
Do a lot of research? They do a lot of research. But like I said, for me, I didn't have a previous employment history. I didn't have trusts and offshore stuff. Mm-hmm. And I didn't have homes in other countries. I think for a lot of people going through the licensing process, if you have a house in Italy, the Game Control Board is going to go there and check it out. They're going to go to all your different historical points of either where you lived or your other employment. But for me, it was a pretty basic thing. It still took about 12 months to go through the process.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's thorough.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've done so much with the place. Let's talk about some of the changes through the years. I know there was obviously a big revamp and some of the things that maybe you're working on now. I saw you tweet something was coming soon. So I'm hoping you're going to let us know what that is.
So actually, I when I moved out here, it was 2007. Mm-hmm. So I only became the CEO 7 years later. I was here with the property in more of a development capacity and with the ownership group. And in 2009-10, we actually shut down for a full remodel of the Plaza, which at the time was a little risky because we were still going through the recession. It feels crazy to talk about those issues from 2008-09, yeah. Given what we're facing today. But we were doing it. We shut down for a major remodel of all the rooms. And that project was really came out of the fact that the Fontainebleau on the Strip, which today I think is going to be called the Drew, had gone bankrupt. And they were selling all of the furniture out of the Fontainebleau. So the designer on the project at the time said, all of this brand new furniture that's going to be part of a 5-star, 5-diamond resort is available. Do you want to check it out?
Wow.
And we went to look at it. It was literally in the basement of that big blue building on the Strip. And there was tile and carpet and headboards. And I was like, wow. So we bought basically 1,200 rooms worth of furniture straight out of the basement there. And the owner, who was in England at the time, bought it without even seeing it. I just told him it's really nice and we'll remodel the Plaza with it. And so that was basically the starting point for the remodel in 2010 when we shut down. We reopened in 2011 then we did Oscar Steakhouse because part of it was like, well, you're going to have 1,000 nice new rooms. You kind of need a steakhouse. Mm-hmm. And we didn't have it. Well, this was Firefly. I don't know if you guys ever came.
Yeah, uh-huh. Absolutely.
This used to be Firefly, which was really cool. But, you know, we needed a steakhouse given what we were doing to the rest of the place. And then someone said, well, hold on. You can't do 1,000 rooms, have a great steakhouse. What about the casino? So I was like, okay, let's remodel the casino. So, well, what about the lobby? So we did everything except for the pool deck and the convention area was in 2010. And then fast forward, it didn't go exactly downtown wasn't quite where it is today. The renovation plan and the team, we didn't do as well as we had hoped to do back in 2011 when we reopened. So when I finally went through the licensing process, the next step was let's remodel the bingo room, the convention room, the pool deck. So we just continued to upgrade the property. And, you know, a lot of people thought you should probably knock it down and restart. I took a different approach, which was, there's a lot of history here. We're coming up on our 50-year anniversary. The Plaza's going to have a 50-year birthday. You guys will both be there,
yeah,
I hope.
Absolutely.
Next July. And it was just an opportunity to continue to upgrade this great, iconic building and bring it back to life. And I think part of the issue was it's such a you drive down the freeway, you see it. It's such an iconic building, but people sort of forgot about the plaza over the years of, for lack of a better word, neglect. And so bringing it back to the forefront of downtown was something we really wanted to do, and we feel like we were doing a good job of that pre the pandemic.
Yeah.
And when you're in downtown, obviously there's a unique vibe in downtown Las Vegas that's different from the Strip, but you're still competing with those resorts on up Las Vegas Boulevard a little bit. What are the unique challenges and opportunities that you face when you have a historic property?
So, I mean, we definitely, you know, we don't see ourselves necessarily competing with the Strip, but a lot of people from the Strip come downtown. I mean, last year we had 20 million people come to downtown Las Vegas, check out Fremont Street Experience. And there's so much to do here now for locals as well, not just tourists, whether it's the Smith Center, you know, there's the residential now that's coming to downtown. Yeah, so definitely the challenges, you know, are the older bones. You know, we deal with, for example, right now we're upgrading our elevators. I've never thought I'd spend so much time thinking about elevators learning about elevators, but we've been, we have 19 elevators in this building.
Wow.
And so we're upgrading every single one of them. It's called a modernization. We're ripping them all out, putting in new equipment. So it's expensive. It's a constant upgrade. You have plumbing that's older. You got to constantly stay updated on that. But then the opportunity is, I think the number one thing people want to hear about when they come to Las Vegas is the history. They love the mob, they love the neon, they love the glitz, they love the glamour. And if you can play to that, and our light bulbs and our history are arguably some of the best. If you think about Oscar's Steakhouse, the history of what he represents, we really embrace that. And so I think that's a great opportunity for us to keep playing that up as well.
Well, and Oscar has unique history, but even this steakhouse, didn't it used to be a pool?
Yeah. Yeah, that was the pool deck. Right over there was a pool deck. We have some pretty cool pictures. Have you guys seen it?
Yeah, I've seen old
I've seen some old pictures, yeah.
And they're all wearing like the polyester suits.
Yeah.
it was pretty cool. So we didn't know that was a pool deck. And when we were building out Firefly, this is a crazy thing. So after that was a pool deck, it became Center Stage. I don't know how long you guys have been in town, but that was like the
15
restaurant to go to, like for prom in the 90s. It was it was a great place. And when that was getting demolished to become Firefly, there was a sign in the ground that said no diving. And I didn't understand why there was said no diving painted on the side of the floor. And so we started doing more research, and that's when we found the pictures of the pool that used to be.
Mm-hmm. Incredible.
It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, you never answered. What is coming soon that you showed pictures of?
So I didn't know that was well, I didn't know. I was posting on Twitter, I guess. But it's actually one of our properties in East Fremont. It's not in the plaza.
Okay,
it's not in the plaza. Our big. A lot of people asked me if that was the next iteration of Greyhound. Mm-hmm. And Greyhound is still there for another 10 months, so that will be a surprise then. But that was a property down in East Fremont.
Okay.
Yeah.
Something that's coming soon?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Love that. The more the better.
It's going to be pretty cool.
They're doing so much on Fremont, you know, all the renovations and stuff there too, and the kind of bringing back the old lights and light posts. So we're excited to see all of that.
It's a pretty cool area when you think about what that used to be. I mean, when I moved out here 10 years ago, you could not walk off of the canopy without sort of getting a little scared. Mm-hmm. And then you saw what happened with Beauty Bar and Downtown Cocktail Room, and slowly all these bars and restaurants came to be. And now it's basically an extension of Fremont Street Experience.
Oh, it's great.
People just walking down there. It's pretty cool.
Yeah, it really, really is. And it's fun. We look forward to everything, obviously, getting back to normal. How has this time kind of changed your mentality when it comes to just gaining, hosting people in your resort casino? What have you had to think about that you need to either change, or are you just going, you know what, I'm keeping it the same. Everyone's going to come back and things are going to go back to normal.
No one's keeping it the same. That's not possible. We don't even open the bar here in Oscars. You got to have cocktail service. You know what's funny is in the old days, a good review was like, my host took care of me. I had a great time at the craps table. Or I enjoyed my meal at Oscars. Today, good reviews is like, they're really good with their sanitizer. There's lots of masks. Everyone's wearing masks.
It's like good.
The temperature check's good. Like, that's become the new norm of good reviews. And that's something that we, you know, we're adapting to. We feel like we've done a really good job of following those guidelines as a property. We really have taken that seriously. 4 people per elevator. Temperature checks, not just at the front desk, but the whole place. Here in Oscars, obviously, we follow all the guidelines, 50% capacity, and we do a good job of enforcing mandatory masks everywhere. And most of that's coming from the governor's guidelines, so we're just doing what we have to do. But You know, what's difficult is it's just hard to plan. You know, someone asked me the other night, well, are we going to do fireworks for New Year's Eve? And I said, I don't know.
Who knows, right?
Who knows? I mean, we did do July 4th fireworks because we had already committed to that. And honestly, that was probably insane given the situation we were in and the crowd that showed up for it. Mm-hmm. We didn't do an event, but there's just people everywhere.
Yeah.
People want to get out on July 4th. People want to see fireworks. We were one of only a handful of places that actually did them. So that's the tough part, is just planning. You know, we have an arena outside where we do the rodeo, we do demolition derbies. We don't know what we can do. And we know we can't do it now. We just don't know if and when you will be able to do it. So how do you plan for that? But in terms of taking care of customers, that hasn't changed. We still want to be down there, not shaking hands, but bumping elbows, having a drink with customers, getting to know them, and really still providing that personalized service, which I think is something we've tried to develop down here.
Mm-hmm. And one thing that you can count on, two things really, you have a neighbor straight out your front door with the new Circa Tower that Derek Stevens is building down here. You have a huge new apartment complex out your back door, so you're being sandwiched by new development. What possibilities does that open up for you guys?
You're a very observant guy. We've always said that Main Street is going to be the best area of downtown Las Vegas. We've always believed that. We just maybe were a little ahead of the time. But now with what Derek's doing with Circa, and you know, we used to own that. It used to be the Las Vegas Club. We sold it to him, which was a crazy story. But in the time, everyone said that was crazy. Why would you do that? Now you see this and you think, well, this is only going to be really good for us, for all of downtown. Yeah. And then you have 800 apartments across the street. Plus you have the Smith Center. You have the Frank Gehry LaRuvo Center. You have the Children's Museum. You have, what's the other one?
The Shops.
Well, the Mummy Museum is that direction,
but
you have a lot going on. But anyway, the 800 apartments is something that I've always said is really important, because a lot of the local places, especially now when there's not as much international travel, you need locals and you need people to support your food and beverage, your gaming, your bingo, your other events. And so we're working on a bridge with the city to connect those 800 units to across our site. We own, the plaza sits on 17 acres going north to south. So that's a big chunk of land in between, in the sandwich in between everything you just described happening here. Mm. So we think it's just getting started for Main Street. And obviously with Greyhound leaving, I think it might be the most important thing to happen to downtown in the last 15 years.
Yeah. So summer 2021 is when Greyhound is going to be finding a new location.
Well, I hope they find one before then, but because they're going to be out of here by then. Exactly.
I love it. I love it. Well, I always ask everyone this, and I know, like you said, it is hard to predict, but I mean, do you feel like Vegas will be back in full force? I mean, I know there's going to be differences, but I think there's so much fear from, first of all, we hear a lot from the listeners in other countries, like, I can't wait to get back. Can't wait for the borders to open, missing it so much. And then we also hear from the locals, like, we don't know what's going to happen. And I mean, anything you can say to encourage people that things are going to be back at some point? We just don't know, I guess, how long.
So I don't try to encourage people mm-hmm. to come back, because I think it's really a personal thing, this whole situation. Mm-hmm. And you should do what makes you feel comfortable.
Yeah,
that's the
good
most
advice.
Important thing. Mm-hmm. But when you come here on Saturday night and you see how busy some of the places are, but in a respectful way, they're not standing on top of each other, but there's people. I mean, these hotels are busy still. I think people think of us as a ghost town. And sure, some days it might seem slower than it would otherwise be, but I got to tell you, Saturday night, we were busy. Mm-hmm. We were sold out in the hotel. We're only running 70% of our full amount of rooms, but we were sold out the rooms we had. The steakhouse is busy. The casino's got a good energy, and everyone's wearing masks. Everyone's keeping their distances. But I think people would be surprised if they came here and realized that they can have a good time and that Vegas is still here offering that great experience. And, you know, I think the people that come here actually end up being like, wow, that was pretty good. That was a good time. I mean, I think having the bars come back will be really helpful.
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a basic thing that you sort of miss when you come to Vegas. Mm-hmm. But I do believe we'll be back. I do believe it'll be Vegas as usual sometime next year. I think obviously we'll miss not having the Raider Stadium, being able to go there, and the T-Mobile Arena. And those are the things that I really think on the weekends would be great. And then the biggest hurt right now, and people are realizing it, is the conventions.
Right.
Yeah.
We need those conventions back. And you know, we need NFR here in December. We need CES here in January. They'll be back.
Yeah.
And I'm confident they'll be back, and the town will recover. It's just, you know, we rely so much on international travel and conventions that now, especially the Strip in downtown. You know, the local casinos, they have the locals. But the downtown area and the Strip, which are so heavily dependent on tourism and conventions, we're all sitting here thinking, can't come soon enough. And I do believe they'll be back.
Yeah. We'll just have to see how long it takes. How about entertainment here? What do you focus on entertainment? I know you have the theater. Any plans for that? And what's going on right now?
Well, actually, funny, I was at dinner last night and a guy was standing there and I was wearing my Plaza mask and he said, I've been to the Plaza. This was on the Strip and I was checking out the new Bugsy and Myers steakhouse. And the guy said, I was at the Plaza just last year. I came to see Frankie Shinta, who used to be our headliner in the show.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Love him.
But now we've tried comedy. We've been doing comedy up until this point. We were doing comedy three nights a week, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, in the showroom. We had some pretty good comedians. We had Tom Green, Nick DiPaolo, some bigger names, and they were doing pretty well. We were starting to build that following of the comedy club. So that was our use for the showroom. We also had live music in the lounge seven nights a week, which we've had to stop right now. But that always added a nice energy in the casino. And then we had the arena out to the back, to the south, and that's where we did rodeos, other equestrian events. We did demolition derbies. Did you guys ever come to that?
No, I never made it to that. I didn't. But I grew up with demolition derbies.
We grew up in the same area back in Western New York, and demolition derbies were like
huge.
It was the thing to do.
I had no idea how popular they were. Coming from England, you've never been to a demolition derby.
Right.
And then they came and brought us this thing, and I said, this sounds insane. They're just going to bash cars into each other. Sold out right away.
Oh, my gosh, really?
2,500 people is our max attendance out there. And it was pretty crazy.
That is so cool. Yeah, I always think about, what was it, Happy Days? Episode of Happy Days?
Yeah.
Pinky Tuscadero? Yep. And that was a demolition derby, I think. But yeah.
Your martini is almost ready, but there is a basic question I didn't ask you. Gin or vodka?
Oh, vodka.
Vodka.
Vodka. Yep. Okay.
He's like, what? Vodka. There he is.
Vodka?
Yeah. Great. I love this.
Looking ahead to your 50th anniversary next year, I know you said there was going to be a big party. Are there big things to be unveiled with the property? Do you have things in the works?
Yeah, so for the 50th year anniversary, we also have a brand new pool deck. It's a couple of years old now, but we would do concerts up there and live entertainment up there. We do our July 4th fireworks show up there. For the 50th year anniversary, it falls on July 4th. It's July 4th next year is a Sunday. So we were planning a weekend, a Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We wanted to go with some local Vegas bands. Some of them have used this property for their music videos in the past. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to do something like that to help bring some excitement to the property. Obviously, July 4th, do fireworks. And then there was a concept we were working on, which we were really excited for, which was to do with a new bar. Obviously, we've had to put that on hold, but we were getting pretty close to doing that at the start of the year, and then we paused that. But we will come back, and I hope to have that done by next July, given, if we're allowed to open bars again and back to normal business, then that would be our dream situation. It's a pretty cool concept, and it's right underneath the lights over here, so it's
amazing.
It could be pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, you do those lights out front are so great. I mean, I noticed so many people taking
pictures.
Iconic, yeah, really, really cool.
Every day we get people tagging pictures of those lights. Mm-hmm. There's not that much remaining of that anymore.
No, there isn't. Yeah. That's the thing. And in the world of social media and Instagram and all that, you got to have something to bring people to even just get a picture and then hope they walk through the front door, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's why we did the murals on the building. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have seen the three big murals we did, but that was all driven by social media and engagement online, and it was crazy. Each of those artists posted their pictures and multiple times, and people just went crazy for it. People want to stay in the hotels where they can see those murals. That's how much people like that. Those artists and follow them around.
Right.
But yeah, you got to have stuff for social media and pictures.
Yeah.
Tell that story.
Mentality these days.
And is there anything, I know that, this whole COVID era has kind of derailed the travel and hospitality industry big time, but leading up to that, were there trends that you were kind of looking at in any new innovations within the industry that you think could pick up after things get back and travel resumes?
What was crazy about it is just, I remember sending out to our bankers back in February saying, not only are we growing by double digits as a percent. Downtown as a whole is growing. And so it was sort of like, let's not change anything, guys. Let's just keep going, because downtown was booming. The Plaza was doing the best it's ever done. We had the best year we've ever had in 2019. So a lot of that new technology stuff, I think that's what you're asking about, mm-hmm. sort of new technology. We were kind of nervous to go there just because, one, we didn't want to take away from what downtown is and that sort of old Vegas feeling. Mm-hmm. And so we did do some of that, like electronic check-in, but the truth is people didn't want to use it. They still want to talk to somebody. We didn't go to like a mobile phone for keys and that stuff yet. So some of that stuff is good, and some of that we sort of felt like it takes away from the experience, and so we've sort of shied away from a lot of that new technology and try to just do the basic things well, mm-hmm. Which was working really well for us.
Yeah.
I agree. Sometimes technology can be a bit much. People do like the personal experience. And, mm-hmm. you know, if you're coming and you're going to spend your money on a vacation, you want to be treated with a little personal touch.
Absolutely, yeah. Yeah, no, I agree with you. I mean, I got a Tesla, uh-huh. and it's like a computer in a car. And when it breaks, it's like your computer breaks. You have to you have to reset it.
Oh, my goodness.
And honestly, there's no one to talk to. It's just a computer company. And here's the martinis.
Oh, look at that. Beautiful.
Oh, excellent.
Got to have a martini at Oscar. This is a really, really pretty martini.
Well, like made by the best.
I know. I need to take a picture of it. Hey, tell us about your podcast. We love to cross-promote. You've got your own thing going on. Where, what, and how can people find
it? Yeah, so we really weren't, you know, I wasn't convinced that a hotel casino should be doing a podcast because, you know, you get a lot of information that people you might not want to share. But I found it's been really good. I found it's been really well received. We've got a lot of good engagement on it. Typically, it's either my team here with myself talking about the property and what's going on, or it's we have a guest on. It's called On the Corner of Main Street, which is sort of a dual meaning. One, we are physically on the corner of Main Street here. And it's also a lyric from arguably the best song by The Killers, which begins on the corner of Main Street. So we went with that, and it's been great. I think we've had 15 episodes, and we've had a couple of guests, anyone from Flavor Flav to, you know, Derek Stevens, Joe Asher from William Hill, and we just talk about the industry, things going on. We try to keep it relevant to the Plaza, people that sort of engage with us either at the Plaza or competition or partners like William Hill. How's the martini? That was a nod of approval.
That was amazing.
It's so good.
What is it?
I never knew.
Yeah, it's 2 p.m. It's great.
Day drinking could be so good.
Yeah, perfect. So it's called On the Corner of Main Street, and we'll see where it goes. You know, we're 15 episodes in at the moment. I'm enjoying it. I like sort of meeting people, talking to them. Most of them are just friends anyway, so we just have a chit-chat. This week we're having a guy called Ryan Growney, who's the general manager at South Point.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Also become a good friend. He beat me at golf this weekend.
Uh-oh.
but a good guy. And so we'll see how it goes. We'll see where the podcast goes. And hopefully we'll have you guys on one day.
I hope
reverse the tables.
We're here.
Ask you questions.
But it is fun to interview, isn't it? We feel like we get so many different kinds of ideas from the podcast. You learn new things that you didn't know, or, you know, all sorts of stuff. It really brings out a lot of information.
Well, and just speaking personally, I never really listened to them. But now I've found a couple of what do you call them? Not commentators, but hosts that I enjoy listening to myself. And it's kind of where I go to for news source now. And more than audio books or books, I just do podcasts.
Yeah.
And so I'm enjoying them. It's opened my eyes to how big they are with other people. But yeah, I think it's fun. I enjoy it. And we're the only hotel casino I'm aware of that's actively doing one, sort of with our brand. And I think we had the guy from Vital Vegas come and join us, and he said more hotel casinos should do this and get the word out.
Right. Yeah.
About
they've
got going on.
Well, that's the thing. You know, there's a lot of gaming podcasts out there and that focus just on one thing. But if you can, you know, have a lot of different topics or be able to talk about anything, whether it's travel, resorts, gaming, sports betting, you name it.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. And to have you being the CEO of a casino and hotel, it's a big deal.
Yeah, I enjoy it. I enjoy it. Like I said, right now you're not able to do many meetings. You know, we try to not have more than 10 to 15 minute meetings, because if somebody then tests positive for coronavirus, everybody has to quarantine. So we're keeping our meeting times with, as long as you're not close to each other, like we're keeping a distance, but we're trying to, it's hard to have meetings, it's hard to plan, so it's giving us some extra things to keep us busy as well.
Right.
It's fun.
And before we go, what are some of your favorite things about Las Vegas? I know, I mean, you haven't lived here your entire life, so what are some of your favorites?
I'm not bad, though. 13 years.
Yeah, that's long. Years. That's like life. We're 15
that's
years.
Like,
yeah.
That's might like a lifer in Vegas terms. Well, obviously, I'm biased, but downtown and specifically the Plaza are my favorite places. I spend a lot of time here. And I don't think I do a day's work when I come here. I love being here. I love being with the team here. I'm very lucky in that regard. But having now had three kids in the last 4 years, it's a great town for kids. I don't think people realize how much there is to do with kids. So I've taken up golf, which I didn't do a few months ago. Mm-hmm. But pre-COVID, I think it's hard to beat Vegas in terms of entertainment. I mean, there's always something going on. Every weekend you could go to a show, a fight, a concert. So the entertainment's the best. The food's the best. The weather's great, but for maybe August.
Yeah.
So it's a tough place to be. I love living here.
It is.
I love it, and probably wouldn't change it for anywhere.
Well,
I agree.
We're looking forward to the big 50th bash next year, and we won't be strangers. We'll come back and have a steak, and hopefully Oscar will be in the house too.
Absolutely, he's here in normal times two to three times a week, so we'll all get together.
Right, he's
like
great.
That.
We had him on the podcast too, and you know his mind is sharp. He's got stories for days. So if anyone gets to meet him and chat with him, it's always an honor.
Yeah, he's a special guy, and we do a thing. I don't know if you guys haven't been to that either. If we ever get back to it, we do a thing called the dinner series.
Yes. And I have been to one of those with John Katzelmides.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, with John.
While back.
Oscar sits down
and
talks for an hour about a subject that usually we'll discuss beforehand. And he just tells stories that it's unbelievable the stories that guy has. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's worth it.
Certainly there's no predicting anything that'll come out of his mouth.
No.
That's sure.
That's true.
Well, listen, Jonathan, thanks so much for joining us and welcoming us. And our martini is amazing, by the way.
Amazing.
Extra dirty and two olives. Love it.
Cool. Well, thank you guys for having me join you.
All right.
I appreciate it.
Stay with us. We're back. Time for Dana and Sean's secret tips and something that's not so secret anymore. It's getting out there more. It's been open for, I'd say, about a year. It's the front yard at Ellis Island. I know you wanted to talk about this, Sean, because you keep seeing people on Twitter and Instagram watching the Golden Knights games there.
Yeah, this has been it's become a really hot spot to watch the games now that the Golden Knights are in the Stanley Cup playoffs and hockey is happening again. Sports are happening again, and the front yard is really buzzing, and I see it every time that I drive down to the Strip. It's a new addition to the front of Ellis Island, which sits a block or two off of Las Vegas Boulevard. Really fun little casino, and now this is a great addition. And really kind of big and open space.
Yeah, it is. It's like two floors, so it's really like tall, you know, so you can sit up top or you can sit at the bottom, and that makes it just, I don't know, feel really open, which is good, and which I think a lot of people are trying to kind of do right now is make sure that it's airy and everyone's separated and there's lots of room to breathe and all that kind of thing. And so this has been super popular. The food is good. I did stop there once for dinner. And a few months ago, before this whole thing, I don't even know what month we're in. It's been 6 months since we started the whole
September?
COVID thing. So yeah, it was before that. So, but the food was delicious. They had us try all sorts of different stuff. The pizza was great. So people seem to really be embracing it. And you know, there's a lot of things that haven't reopened. First of all, our bars can't be open right now.
Right.
So folks can't watch the game and just have a drink. It has to be a place that serves food. And then Legacy Stadium, where we used to record our podcast, that hasn't opened, and they've decided not to reopen it. So there's not a lot of places to watch games.
No. So, you know, if you are coming to town, keep the front yard at Ellis Island top of mind. That could be a good option as you're trying to get out and enjoy what Las Vegas has to offer.
That's right. Yeah, we love talking about some of our favorite things or things that we're noticing. So next week, again, we mentioned the Lake of Dreams is being revamped at the Wynn, and we're excited to check it out. And we're also going to be talking with the director of entertainment over there at the Wynn. So look forward to catching up
on that property next week here on Vegas Reveal. But for now, we're going to say goodbye.
Bye.